I was asked by the principal of the Catholic school if I would celebrate Mass for the students. So I went over and celebrated Mass. And the pastor called me the next day and he said, "Pat, did you have a Mass for the students yesterday?" And I said, "I did." And he said, "Well, how did it go?" And I said, "Well, I thought it went pretty well, and I knew what was coming." "Well," he said, "the principal said that you showed a movie in the Mass." And I said, no, I did show something, but it wasn't a movie. You'd never see it in a movie house." And he said, "Well, what was it? Did you put up a screen in the sanctuary?" And I said, "Oh, I did." But I said, "I would describe it as an animated stained glass window." And he paused, and then he started to laugh. He said, "That's good. That's really good." And I truly believe that what stained glass windows used to be for people, especially the peasant, the unlettered, the moving image should be used in church.
So you would believe then that we should have more of this, that in order to reconnect people with that kind of primal connection with things like fire and earth and air that maybe modern living has dissociated us from, that a way of reconnecting that in liturgy would be to make film and show that film in the church.
Right. You see, this language has come along, this new language of the moving image has come along, and the same technology that has given us indoor plumbing, the same technology that Edison created of lighting, the same technology, for example, that has done away with the fireplace that used to be the center of people's lives, that same technology has given us this new language. And we Roman Catholics got flailed in the, you know, the Protestant Reformation for using statues, for using colored windows, for using decorations and paintings. And all you have to do is go into an older church and you see how we depended upon the language, not of moving images, but the language of shape and form and color and so on. And that's available to us beyond static stuff. The problem is, to be very candid, most Catholics can't imagine how they might integrate this for a practical reason, and that is that where would you put the screen? I mean, it literally. And then the liturgist will say, "Well, you can't show video in a church." Well, I have a simple answer for that one that I picked up 5 years ago in Rome. I went into the Lateran Church, which is really the Pope's church. That's where the Pope operates out of, not the Basilica. And I was startled to find not one, not two, but 14 big television screens in the Pope's church. So the idea that it's somehow antithetical to church and worship and service is nonsense. It's silly. So what I'm suggesting is that we have to craft some little films which will be connected with the reading of the day. And I truly believe that if we created things like The Woman at the Well and a 3-minute piece that would be used in that connection, emphasizing one simple reality that without water there is no life, keep that in mind, folks, that they would hear that story differently. They would relate to it differently.
Who would you envisage doing this? Or would it be for our artists? Would it be for trained filmmakers? Who would you envisage would make these films?
Well, I've come to the conclusion, because I shot those other ones myself and I edited them, I found music, but I'd need a video crew that knew how to light, that knew how to edit, and I'd need a music director that would try to get the right music. But I'll give you a couple of concrete examples. I've written scripts for several of these, and how do you tell the story of the preciousness of light when you're writing in light? And then I came upon the idea, I was reading something about Edison, that Edison is the guy who destroyed darkness. And so I write this little script, and I will match it with images that are explanatory of how in ancient times the Romans had little lamps with oil in them, and a little wick. So I'm beginning to say how people were using fire in a very limited fashion. And when nightfall came, they were fearful, because they were walking through the valley of darkness in many cases. Well, Edison comes along and invents the incandescent light bulb. And so I move on from there, showing how New York City began to be wired. Suddenly, New York begins to be lit up. And this continues to grow. And I would end by showing the ubiquity of light in our culture. I would go to a ballpark and I would show how these bright lights, you know, at any hour of the day or night, can make darkness into light, and try to emphasize how we have all of this around us. And then at the end, I would have a very brief reenactment of a fella driving in, say, the Rocky Mountains where there were no people, and he would be driving along a road with the windshield wipers on and dark, inky dark out there. Now, of course, he still has his portable light with him, but suddenly there's a voice from the back seat saying, "Hey, man, you flicked on those headlights. Why don't you flick them off?" And he's puzzled by this kind of temptation and says, "Oh, God, no. Why would I do that?" Well, the guy says, "The car's not going to be changed. You're not going to be altered. The road isn't going to wind up. Why don't you turn them off?" And there's this pause, and we hear the windshield wipers, and suddenly it's dark. And in 2 seconds, then, you hear this horrible crash. End of movie. Because people could associate being in a fix like that with the electricity going out, you know, and then they were feeling the valley of darkness. The priest then goes on and says, Jesus called himself light.